Hello and welcome back to my podcast. I'm Atana Nava, I'm a life coach, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Sophie.
Hi everyone.
So today we have chosen to speak about anxiety.
Yeah, so the reason why we've actually chosen the topic of anxiety is because it is a lot more common than we expect within people.
Mm.
And you've probably experienced it, whether it's been diagnosed or undiagnosed. Mm. Everyone's experienced some form of anxiety in some aspect of their life. So we just thought anxiety would be a great way to start into mental health and just explore different aspects of anxiety and dive right into it.
Yeah. So anxiety in a simplistic way is fear. So anxiety is fear, and it's a normal emotion. It exists to essentially protect us.
Yeah, so you could actually say it's like an evolutionary response, like a fight or flight kind of response. So I think that's the whole soul aspect of why anxiety exists, you could say.
Yeah, so literally, the fight or flight response, it's an unconscious response. Not much thought goes into it. It's very quick. And it's a defense mechanism. It's part of your body's natural alarm system.
Oh, okay, so it's like... Okay, so for example, let's use examples like back in the caveman days when we're going out hunting, like when we're going out hunting to hunt a lion, let's say, we have automatically the anxiety in order to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say that's a form of anxiety, but now that as we've evolved, we don't have that kind of dangers anymore. Instead, it's different kinds of dangers, whether it's like crossing the road or maybe like to prevent yourself from going into a car accident or so forth. Anxiety has, I guess, traveled with us through time and just protecting us in different ways now.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what it is. It is a way for us to protect ourselves. You know, it's our survival instincts kicking in. And like you said, it is like, you know, if you're crossing the road and a car's coming at you, you're either gonna, you know, freeze or fight it, or you're gonna like fly and like run away.
Mm-hmm.
Probably best to run away if a car's coming at you. And it's, you know, with anxiety, there are a lot of physical symptoms that come with it as well. So your heart beats faster, that's one, and you become sweaty. And when this happens, we notice it and we end up actually worrying more, and that kind of becomes a vicious cycle.
Okay.
And that could lead to, you know, feeling more and more anxious. So you're feeling anxious about something else, and then you're anxious about being anxious.
Yeah, I understand that. But you said symptoms of anxiety. What are the specific symptoms that we can identify as anxiety?
So your body, when you become anxious, your body is essentially preparing itself to react to a danger. And the first thing that happens is that it releases a lot of adrenaline. So your heart beats faster because it's trying to increase, you know, blood flow to your muscles so they can have more oxygen and more energy to work. Another thing is that we breathe faster. That's a very common one as well. We breathe faster and heavier. And the idea behind that is to get more oxygen into our body as well. There are a few more. I might quickly touch on those now actually. So a lot of people feel tightness and chest pain, because the reason behind that is because your heart is beating faster, which means that there's more muscle tension. A lot of people have a tight throat, but and they think that their throat is actually closing up but actually it's tensing and widening so you can get more oxygen into your body. So it's not tightening, it's actually getting bigger. Your blood pressure rises, that's why your heartbeat is faster, and that can make someone feel dizzy because of it's the blood and oxygen level that changes in your brain. People might feel faint, but it will not lower your blood pressure, because what all these things are happening is to increase your blood pressure, essentially. Oh, okay. So a lot of people think that when they feel anxious that they're going to faint, but it's kind of impossible to faint, because if you were to faint, your blood pressure would be low. And other things is like feeling quite strange or your vision getting blurry as well. So those are the common physical symptoms of anxiety, and there's nothing wrong with that. Our body shows these symptoms because it's
alerting you of the dangers that you might be in.
Literally, it's responding to that danger. That's what your body is doing.
So obviously anxiety, it's very difficult to talk about, especially when we don't have a case study to analyze or so forth. So I've gone on Reddit, found some little case studies. Maybe we can digress.
So let's go for it.
Okay, so the first one is called Having a Mental Breakdown. Okay, so I'll just read the... So my mental health is at its worst right now. I'm not sure what to do. I don't feel like myself. My head hurts and I get terrible sleep. I feel scared. The way I'm feeling, I feel, is due to a lot. I feel like work is causing a lot of stress. I've been starting to dislike my job more and more as time goes by, but at the same time, I feel like my attitude of work is just altered right now from stress. I'm still planning on quitting sometime soon due to other factors, but I think I just need to get it. Sorry, I lost where I am. Okay. 1 minute. but I just need to get to it. The benefit of the doubt. Sorry, this sentence doesn't make sense. For now, I feel like I care less about it. My sleep and my general health are not good, but I want to pursue fixing it, both by eating better and going back to the gym this Thursday. Sleep is a huge one. In the moment, though, I don't feel all right. Like I said, I'm having a hard time feeling myself. It's tough enjoying things, and I feel like whatever comes out of my mouth feels like it's on autopilot. I feel like I'm having a mental breakdown and just want to cry. I think I'm disassociating due to the stress, but it's just overthinking it. If anyone has advice, it would be appreciated.
So I think that's a great example of modern day stresses, and much like the kind of examples we said earlier of, you know, crossing the road or with the lion, in modern day we have modern stressors such as work. Work is a big one, and unlike other type of stressors, like if a car's coming at you, you can fight on flight. But at work, you can't fight or flight.
You're stuck
there. So, as you know, as much as we want to fight work or flight work, we, you know, most likely we can't, even when we want to. And our bodies, not knowing any better, still reacts the same way to all these anxieties or stresses that you experience. And I think, so this person, they said their sleep isn't good, they're not eating well. Those two, as much as they seem like such basic elements of basic life, they're such good indicators of how well you are doing. So if your sleep is disrupted, a lot of people with anxiety struggle to get to sleep because they're up overthinking or ruminating about things. And losing your appetite. Some people actually get an increased appetite as well. So change in appetite is a big indicator as well. And their attitude of, you know, they mentioned wanting to quit as well, but then they acknowledged that it could be because of these stresses. And to be honest, that quitting or that wanting to quit could be seen as like trying to flight.
Okay.
So trying to run away from work. So it could be a flight response. But then again, it could be an avoidance thing as well, just avoiding work.
Obviously, they didn't specify what's causing the anxiety. But say in this case it was work. Yeah. Wouldn't it be best for his or her mental health to leave the work? Because you can always find another job. So at the end of the day, it is your mental health that's number one. So maybe if your body is telling you, okay, you need to leave the situation, wouldn't it be the best solution to you?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. You know, if it is work that is stressing you out, 100%, you know, you don't want to be in a situation that is continuously going to cause you stress, because that is going to have a dramatic effect on your mental health. And you are going to feel even more stressed, even more anxious, and could even lead to like depression and things like that as well. So yes, if work is stressing you, maybe quit. Maybe that fight or flight response is, you know, still beneficial.
Obviously, we don't have a lot to go off to give a... Yeah, but in terms of dealing with the anxiety this person is feeling, how can, like, as a first point, how can they deal with it?
I think the best thing someone can do for themselves is sitting with the emotions.
Okay.
As much as no one likes to sit in anxiety, but we kind of want it to be over. But the thing is, what happens is, because obviously, like I mentioned, there's a release of adrenaline. It's a hormone. It can't go on forever. At one point, it is going to run out. And anxiety is not going to last continuously for a very long time. It will be over at one point. And I think sitting in it, going through it, and then when it's over, I'll be like, oh, okay, it's done. So then you know you can sit through it.
So it's like facing your fears head on, basically, yeah.
Yeah, 100% facing your fears. And obviously there are different levels to anxiety. You know, if you do find yourself having an anxiety attack in some way, there are certain things that you can do to get yourself out of it. So one of them is changing the temperature. So cold water. You can splash your face with cold water or go stand outside in the cold. That's one thing. Another one is intense exercise. Just to kind of mimic the... you know, the increased heart rate and the breathlessness and things like that, because it's the same. Your anxiety responses mimic how you feel like after you've exercised. So it's like kind of like, I don't know, merging them together. So that's a good one. And also breathing is like the number one best thing anyone can do. Like, even if you don't have anxiety, well, I mean, we all have anxiety, but if you don't suffer from it in like a really bad way, then breathing, literally, there's a really good one, quite common, a lot of people find it helpful. It's like a box breathing. So you like breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold your breath for 4 seconds, you breathe out for 4 seconds, hold your breath, and you go round and round. And what that does, it distracts your mind from whatever it is that's going on.
But you know, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the height of your anxiety, the last thing you're thinking about is breathing and calming yourself down. You're just like, oh, I just want this problem over and done with. So it's a bit, that one I think is a bit difficult to do.
Yes, I completely agree. When I've worked with people, they say the exact same thing to me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But with anxiety, it doesn't just hit you out of nowhere.
Oh, okay.
You feel it bubbling up. Mm-hmm. So, like, breathing, that's one thing to do when you feel it bubbling up. So when you start feeling your body kind of changing or tensing or whatever it is, that's when you want to do breathing.
Mm.
And you're right, when you're in the height of it, your mind is not going to be thinking of all these other things that you want to do.
You blank out and you're like, what?
Yeah. And you know what? Like I said, it's the best thing to do is to sit through it.
Yeah.
And feel it as much as we don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So shall we move on to the next case study? Yes,
let's do that.
Okay. So this one is actually quite a good one. So it's anxiety or panic attack or something else.
Mm.
So sometimes I kind of am in a panic, but I'm not sure if my symptoms are bad enough to be one of these things. In the mildest form of this situation, all I can think about is how I don't want to be in the place where I am, and I just want to run away. Also, I tremble a bit and have jelly legs, and sometimes have a slight difficulty in breathing. At its worst, my heart pounds really hard, and I can't breathe and gasp hard for air, which causes my chest to hurt quite a bit. Sometimes it's caused by certain people being too close to me, worrying about bad grades, somebody shouting at me, but sometimes I don't think it's a defined cause. Like sometimes I just wake up in the middle of the night and it happens.
Mm.
Also, does someone have any advice how to deal with this? So
most of the things she described are physical symptoms that we've spoken about. So the feeling tight chest, heart beating faster, and you know, breathing gets harder.
Mm.
Actually, your breathing just increases. Mm. But when you're in it, you feel like you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Because you've got all these other things going on. But actually, your body's doing the opposite thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're just feeling the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Because everything's just tense. You feel like, oh my God, like I can't breathe. Mm. But the difference between an anxiety attack So a panic attack can just come out of nowhere and it's very, very intense. There isn't usually, you're not in a situation that is anxiety provoking. It could come, so she said she just gets up in the middle of the night and she has an attack. That's a panic attack.
Okay.
An anxiety attack happens when you've been ruminating or overthinking or you're in a situation that is anxiety provoking. They're both essentially very similar. It is anxiety because unconsciously our brain is still going.
Mm.
Even though we're not conscious. I still can't say it. Excuse me. Yes, even though it's not conscious.
Yeah.
Conscious. God, I can't bloody say it. But your mind is bagging the background. And those things that are going on in the background that we are not aware of, that's causing anxiety.
So in a way, both a panic attack and anxiety is kind of intertwined.
Yeah.
In some form. So do you think the anxiety is what triggers the panic attack, or can it be sometimes the other way around where you get a panic attack and then all of a sudden you're anxious all the time?
So I think a panic attack can induce even more anxiety.
Mm.
Because a panic attack comes out of nowhere, if you're anxious and you have an attack, that's an anxiety attack, I believe anyway. But it is quite interchangeable. Because the symptoms are the same. I think panic attacks are probably more intense.
Mm.
And because you don't know about, you know, why you're feeling this, so you're quite lost, it comes out of the blue, you become even more anxious. And it's like a vicious cycle. Mm.
So how do we go about, like overcoming it, really?
Number one thing, therapy.
Really?
Yeah, because there is something in there that needs to come out, that you need to be aware of if you're having panic attacks. You can, if you don't have a desire to uproot, you know, or, you know, these dark hidden things that you have in your mind, that's also okay.
But some people might feel as though it's just a panic attack, it will blow over, they don't need to see a therapist. Because that's why I said, really, like, you sometimes you feel like, okay, maybe I can just deal with it on my own terms. For people who feel that way, what could they do?
So when you're having when you're feeling anxious, or you're in that moment, I guess distractions are a good thing. Talking to people, I don't know, mindful colouring, you know, playing some music, dancing, you know, lighting a candle, watching it burn, little things like that. Depends on what works for you. It's kind of like trial and error, what works for you. And if you can deal with it yourself, yeah, you probably can.
Okay.
You don't need to see a therapist or a mental health professional to deal with it. If you feel like you need help dealing with it, then yeah, definitely do that.
In what cases do you think you would recommend someone to go get help?
When your anxiety is at a point where you cannot live daily life and okay. like do daily things, like
it's crippling. Okay.
Yeah. Where your quality of life has deteriorated to a point, you're not satisfied with it, you feel like there's other things coming in, you're feeling low in mood and things like that, that's when you need help. And I think a lot of people can be in denial as well, like, I don't need help.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it is best to listen to the people around you, because they might actually know you better than
Seeing yourself. Yeah. Because you're in that state of not being there, I guess. Not 100% being there. Yeah. Obviously, you've recommended, like, for the people who do want to see a therapist or see someone, where do you think they should start to find someone? Because sometimes finding a therapist or seeking help can be quite daunting. So what do you recommend?
I think speaking to your GP is the number one thing. Speak to your GP. They can refer you to mental health services. I'm going to put life coaching in there as well. Even though life coaches aren't mental health professionals, if you feel like you can manage with daily life and you want to be able to move on, life coaches can kind of help you set goals and set steps of what you can do. And the whole kind of just talking about it. So in one of the case studies, it was like, I think the job one, she was like, oh, you know, I'm planning to, you know, eat healthier and go to the gym.
Yeah.
So just writing that out, she came up with her own conclusion at the end, like, okay, I need to do this.
Oh, okay. So it's like a step in the right direction. Yeah. So she's like telling herself, it won't defeat me. Yeah. I'm going to overcome this.
By doing this and doing that. And even like things like journaling and things like that, just getting it out, talking about it, writing about it.
Yeah.
It really does help your thought processes. Yeah. It helps your thoughts become clearer and more coherent, because it can be quite a mess or jumbled up in our minds.
Yeah. And sometimes it's nice to take 5 minutes and just appreciate the little things, like even standing outside and looking at the sky.
Yeah.
It can be quite therapeutic. So.
Yeah. It really is, because when you're doing that, you're being mindful. You're literally in that moment. Just appreciating something so trips, you know, so small that we don't really notice. And it's very grounding. Grounding is another great thing for anxiety.
Okay.
There's a grounding technique that speaks about, you know, it's about your senses.
Okay. So what kind of senses specifically?
So it's like, it goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. So when you're feeling yourself getting anxious, or you're, you know, in the middle of being really, really anxious, it is, like you said before, it is hard to think about these things. But when you've kind of, you know, come back to a balanced level, maybe you can have these things like written down somewhere on your phone or whatever it is, on post-it notes around your room or whatever. So when you are feeling anxious, the only thought you need to have is to look at that post-it note, or to look at your phone or whatever it is, and then you can read or do whatever techniques there are. So the grounding technique.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
So it goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So it's acknowledging 5 things that you can see, 4 things you can touch. So even if you're sitting, like, your feet on the ground, your bum on the chair, you know, your hands on your knees. So 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell. If you can't smell anything, you can imagine a smell, and 1 thing you can taste. And again, if you can't taste anything, imagining a taste. And that really just grounds you from everything that's going on outside
back yourself. To you. Okay. I think that's actually might be a good journaling technique as well. Mm-hmm. Like in the morning, just take 5 minutes and just writing those things down, because that's kind of like affirming
the moment and your bodily sensations, because we spend so much time thinking outside of ourselves that we neglect.
So I actually heard one technique where you stand like Superman.
Yeah.
So you put your hands on your hips and just stand there and go, I can.
Yeah. And you know what? That actually sounds really affirming as well, because it's like, I think there's power in stance.
Yeah.
There's power in your body, how you your stand. Your body language, exactly. Yeah. So if you're kind of crippling over and like rolled up in one, you're kind of like, I guess it's, I don't know, I want to say it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy of some kind, but if you're like, chest out, you know, Superman stance, you feel it.
Yeah.
You feel it, don't you?
Like you're going to conquer the world.
Yeah, you can. You can conquer the world. So that's it, I think.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up. So that was our talk on anxiety today. There was probably so much more we could have spoken about, but we are limited by time.
Yes.
So please subscribe, follow. My @ is @ atana.nava. You can see it in the bio. And we'll be back soon.
Yeah, see you next week. Bye.